Now that my life in Kentucky involves fishing, I've been pondering the expression hook, line, and sinker. So I looked it up on Google, of course, and this is what it said. A phrase used to emphasize that someone has been completely deceived and tricked. That was me before I became a Christian. I grew up with the narrative that life is what you make it, work hard, believe in yourself. However, my self-worth was completely wrapped up in what others thought about me. Growing up in the 60s and 70s, I had the mindset, to each his own, truth is relative, and challenge the status quo. I didn't value traditional roles of men and women as mothers and fathers. I didn't think of families as safe or trustworthy. I looked to friends to fit in, and cool hippie teachers to emulate. I thought I was brilliant when I was 14 in junior high and I wrote this paper on why marriage licenses should be renewable, just like driver's licenses. Why not allow spouses to renew the license only if they wanted to? Wouldn't that save a lot of heartache for kids if they didn't expect their parents to stay together forever? Wouldn't that make for a better society? I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't know it. The mindset was religion was personal, it was a choice, and we kids were expected to figure that out on our own. My exposure to church was almost non-existent. I don't recall reading the Bible or praying. Secular schools from elementary through college were my main source of learning about Christianity, which wasn't much, and it certainly wasn't positive. However, I always knew there was a God. The one foundation I had was the Lord's Prayer, which my mother taught me when I was very young, and I memorized it. But life was full of challenges growing up. But I kept believing that if I just worked hard enough, I would be happy, content, fulfilled. However, setting goals and attaining them left me questioning why I still didn't feel satisfied. There was a hole inside my heart, and I didn't know that Jesus was the only thing that could fill it. I didn't understand that I was created in the image of God for a love relationship with Him. I was literally looking for love in all the wrong places. There was always a gnawing deep within me. Is this all there is? Isn't there something more? I never considered Jesus. I couldn't. My pride wouldn't let me. I was a mocker and a scoffer of Jesus Christ. I truly believed that church was a club for hypocrites. Seeing bumper stickers that read, "I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven," as a non-believer, that reinforced my attitude of not wanting anything to do with those holier-than-thou people. When I overheard anyone starting a statement with, "If it's the Lord's will," I would just see the irritation. How could anyone be so foolish? I remember one time I got on a bus and the driver was listening to a religious channel. It immediately put me to sleep. I was deceived, living in darkness, and I didn't know it. Then when I was around 32 years old with two small children, newly separated from their father, Jesus rescued me. I had just laid down for a nap out of total exhaustion. I felt an enticing energy that appeared good, but instinctively I knew it was evil. It was an overwhelming, seductive drawing out of my soul. The same situation had happened to me once before when I was 16 years old. Back then, at age 16, I was sleeping when I felt a presence overshadowing me. It was calling to me to come, to find rest, let go into this ever so powerful pull on my being. But back then at 16, I instinctively knew if I gave into this force, I would die. I was fighting it so intensely in my sleep that I shook myself straight up into a sitting position in my bed. The analogy is like that of drinking a milkshake. And at first you're drinking it and it's easy and you have the straw and you're sucking it through. And then all of a sudden you hit that lump of ice cream and you have to really suck hard to pull that ice cream through that straw. And that was the feeling of my soul being drawn out of me. And it was very scary. When I sat there looking around my room, I saw this incredible light. It was blue and milky white, and it was shining all around me in an evil way, and there was this buzzing sound, bzzz, and it unnerved me. I was petrified. I was 16. I was home alone. So I called a girlfriend, and I said, I had a bad dream. Can I come over and spend the night? And she said, of course, and I did. And I never spoke a word to her about the event or to anyone else. How could I? I had no understanding of spiritual warfare. I had never picked up a Bible. So now, here I was at 32 years old, exhausted as a single mother of two, having just laid down for a nap. I hadn't fallen asleep this time, though. And suddenly, I felt the same evil presence. This time, I knew I literally did not have the strength to fight it off on my own. So I desperately called out to God, and I cried, please help me, save me. And immediately, I felt as though this beautiful presence just covered me head to toe. I was laying flat on my back, and I immediately felt this peace and love and protection, and I fell asleep. When I woke up, I recalled this strange event that just happened, but I shook it off. I jumped up and ran to the stairway to check on my boys. I had no idea how long I'd been asleep. I was concerned for their safety. And that's when I met Jesus. He was this ethereal person, and he said to me, I couldn't go on denying him anymore. I had to make a choice. Did I want to accept him or not? I was bewildered and still concerned about my kids down there, and he was in between me and my kids, and in awe and fear and desperation, I said, yes, I do. And I ran right through him and down the stairs, checked on my kids. They were fine. It had only been a few minutes. So then I went and I sat on the couch and I just felt stumped. What had just happened? Was that even real? I called my sister. I knew she had become a Christian a few years earlier, so I felt safe telling her this crazy story. And she explained to me that there was a heavenly battle for my soul, and Jesus won, Satan lost. Today I understand Ephesians 6:12, which states, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Unfortunately, my life didn't change dramatically. Fear and pride had me in bondage. I was what I call a closet Christian. I lived a double life. I knew I accepted Jesus as my Savior, but I had no clue what that meant for daily living. I didn't read the Bible, and I still had this deep-seated need for man's approval in my life. So I talked about being a Christian only with other people that I knew were Christian. Jesus was so patient with me. Slowly, I started coming out with my faith in Jesus to some of my closest non-Christian friends, but I felt embarrassed sharing it. It wasn't until 3 years later that I had the second half of my conversion. I got connected with an Anglican priest and his wife, and they gave me a cassette of their recorded testimony. Remember cassettes? It was late at night, and I was alone listening to it before bed. After I turned it off, I went through an all-night journey with God, showing me my entire life. He showed me every sin I had ever committed and every time he had tried to reach me, but I denied him. It was like watching a movie of my life. I wept, I wailed, I said how sorry I was. The agony was almost unbearable. It went on for 6 hours. I was emotionally exhausted. As I sat there wondering if there was more anguish to come, it was quiet, and then it happened. I felt a wave of pure, cool water crashing over me. It was like a thunderous cascade of mountain spring water rushing over me. It didn't crush me. Rather, it cleansed me. I totally had a new meaning to the phrase, wash the slate clean. My slate was wiped clean. It was over. It was finished. I was a new person. I was forgiven, and I felt free. Then I felt a radiant warmth starting to fill me. I was being filled with an amazing love that wasn't manufactured by me. This warmth and love started arcing and pulsing through me, spilling out. It was the most beautiful feeling I had ever felt. It was a gift that I was receiving that had nothing to do with me and everything to do with him. Today I understand this as the filling and presence of the Holy Spirit, a gift of God's residency within me, within us, never earned, only received. So the next day I knew I had to go meet the priest and tell him my story, which I did. And once again, I was nervous about sharing the experience, wondering if he would think I was totally crazy. But after I was done, he sat there and he looked at me and he graciously said, "I believe you." So when I was leaving his office, he also said, "I'd like to offer you baptism." And that is when my journey really took root. I began attending Bible studies. I got baptized several weeks later, and almost a year after that, I was confirmed in the Anglican Church. However, my life wasn't happily ever after. In fact, my life continued to be extremely difficult based on many poor choices I continued to make and poor choices of those closest to me that they continued to make. However, there was a huge difference because now I had Jesus. So, do you think I believe in miracles? Yeah, I am one. I'm a Christian. Not because I'm good, but because he is good. I am a Christian confident in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I am his beloved, and he is mine. And he is my Savior, and he is my Lord. It is the most epic love story of all time. And the most exciting part to me is that everyone has an epic, unique love story with Jesus too. So I hope that my story will serve as a hope marker for those in your life who seem hopeless. I know we all have people in our lives that we yearn for their salvation, for their conversion. Maybe it's a friend, a family member, a neighbor, a coworker, and it seems that no matter what, he or she is resistant or hardened or indifferent or angry or offended or judgmental against the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's my advice? Keep praying. And keep your two eyes on Jesus. He is the miracle worker, and he moves mountains. We don't need to be embarrassed or ashamed about the truth, the absolute truth. Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He also says in John 7:37-38, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So in closing, I want to pray Romans 15:13. If you would bow your heads. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.